صوت أهل السنة والجماعة، صوت مركز الصحابة.
آنکھیں بچھا پیروں تلے جن پر میرے آقا چلے،
آنکھیں بچھا پیروں تلے جن پر میرے آقا چلے، چل تو بھی ان راہوں پہ چل، چل تو بھی ان راہوں پہ چل، چل تو بھی ان راہوں پہ چل،
حیا علی خیر،
چل چل چل،
حیا علی خیر الامل، حیا علی خیر الامل، حیا علی خیر الامل، حیا علی خیر الامل،
حیا
علی خیر الامل، حیا علی خیر الامل، حیا علی خیر الامل، حیا علی خیر الامل،
اپنی طرف تکتا نہیں تجھ سا کوئی یکتا نہیں، جھونکا کسی طوفان کا تجھ کو بجھا سکتا نہیں،
کر بیعت حب و وفا بن جا چراغ مصطفیٰ سینے میں جل، ہاتھوں پہ چل،
حیا علی خیر الامل،
حیا
بچھا پیروں تلے جن پر میرے آقا چلے، جب فرض تجھ کو یاد ہے پھر تجھ پہ کیوں افتاد ہے، شاگرد یہ دنیا نہ کر تو وقت کا استاد ہے،
دل سرور دی سے لگا آنکھیں نہیں قسمت جگا، چہرہ نہیں شیشہ بدل۔
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، اہلا وسہلا ومرحبا بكم and welcome to another edition of the midday show with myself brother Suleiman Isup every Monday to Thursday between 12 and 1 p.m. I hope that you all are in the best of health and hope your week is going well so far. Today being the 15th of Safar 1446, corresponding to the 20th of August 2024. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. You know, I was just sitting and I'm thinking to myself, I like completely blanked out. I got my things in order, but I don't know what happened. It's just like sometimes when you know you're going in like into a into an examination, you know, you study the whole time, and then when you come to the paper and you open that examination paper and you look at it and you just blank, like Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, just blank out, like where did all that information go? But Alhamdulillah, yesterday we were talking about death, and when somebody a loved one passes away, and we had Maulana Zaid Khan, he was on air with us. Normally he's in studio with us, but yesterday due to some personal reasons, he couldn't join us. But you know what? Yesterday we were talking about death and how, because our brother Muhammad Khan, he lost his beloved mother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her the highest in Jannah and grant the family Sabrun Jameel. So, like now, the current situation that's happening is the whole fear of the monkeypox or mpox. You know, Mufti Sahib and them were discussing about the mpox, and he says, you know, we're just trying to scare you. And there hasn't, I don't know if there's any cases that have been reported in South Africa, but they say it was in the DRC and in some European countries. So in the World Health Organization, they said that there was, after a few years of post-COVID talks, the members of the World Health Organization failed to agree plans for a more equitable distribution of vaccines. You know, Mufti Saab stands is that the vaccines are haram. It is not permissible. You can't take the vaccines. But they say that the first recorded infection outside of South Africa was in Sweden. And this was reported by the UK Health Security Agency. And I think it was in the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo, reported the first case of this mpox virus. So yeah, that's what's been happening, and we need to, it's like another COVID pandemic. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, protect our children. You know, it's a scary times that we are living in. And just reading an article here saying that the weak structural growth and the COVID-19 pandemic has exacerbated socioeconomic challenges. South Africa's GDP has recovered to its pre-pandemic levels, but the strength of recovery has hindered by multiple structural constraints. The recovery employment continued in 2023 to 790,000 jobs. That's also another thing, that when the pandemics and all these other things come through, it's very it puts everyone back, and it makes it difficult. Sometimes a job where you've been working for many years, all of a sudden they look at your age, they look at your health, and they say, you know what, unfortunately, Mr. So-and-so, there's nothing we can do, and then they have to let you off, which is a sad thing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect each and every one of us, inshallah. So how is your day? How is your weekend? What can you tell me? You can send your messages on 084-786-3132. International and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. If you are traveling abroad, I know now we're in August, and now I think has the school holiday started, or is it next week? I know it's in September sometime, but is it like in the second week of September, the third week? But are y'all planning to, is anybody planning to go anywhere? What are your plans like? So you can send a message. And don't forget, at the 12:30 will be our recipe segment. So you can send your messages there on 084-786-3132. International and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. You know, we had a discussion, or we had a program from 11 to 12, was the bliss of marriage. So whilst I'm waiting for you guys' messages, you can listen to this beautiful nasheed by Ahmed Bukhatir, and it is titled Zawjati.
Sorry. زوجتي حلالي أنت لا أخشى عذولا همومتي لقد أذن الزمان لنا بوصل غير منبت سقيت الحب في قلبي بحسن الفعل.
You know, this particular nasheed, it brings back a lot of memories, and it brings back memories of good memories, alhamdulillah. You know, in the time when I was getting married, in that period, that 2010-2011, Ahmed Bukhatir came down to South Africa, and we heard him live, you know, and it brings back a lot of memories, because this was that year, or that this particular nasheed was was actually trending, if I can say that. The nasheed was trending at the time. So every time when I hear this nasheed, it brings back these memories. And I'm sure that a lot of people, you know, when you're getting married, you think of the first time when, you know, you see your beloved spouse or your beloved spouse, either be your wife or your husband now. As back then, maybe you're married 5, 6, 10, 12 years, and you'll speak and you'll reminisce about the good old days, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all the marriages. Those, you know, marriage is not a... You know, they say if you tell me that a marriage is a bed of roses, you know, there's something wrong. Because the marriage is never a bed of roses. A marriage will always have its ups and downs, no matter what, because no two people are exactly the same. Sometimes you marry a person, and that's when you learn to adapt, and you learn to live with a person, and you learn because you must understand that this person that's coming into your life, you've never met them. You've never met them before. You've never spoken to them. And you are now interacting with someone new. You know, sometimes when you go into school, you meet different people, right? That's when you're still small, you're still immature. You don't have this understanding. But once when you grow up and you become mature and you understand what's life, and now that you say, okay, you know what, alhamdulillah, now, I want to get married. I want to settle down. I want to complete half my iman. They say, right. Now you must go and find a spouse. Then you're going to go ask your mother's auntie, your mother's sister, your mother's brother, your father's sister, your father's brother. You ask them, tell them, you put the word out, because nobody's going to know that you want to get married, right? So you go over there, you see a girl, or a boy comes home, and they make all these arrangements, whatever the case may be. And then you read istikhara. You see if you get your dua, if you answer. You take Allah's guidance, obviously, with everything you need to take Allah's guidance. Then you get married. You're living together. You know, they say the first 6 months, first 10 months is honeymoon phase. Then after, now that you're living with a person, now that novelty of staying together, now in the honeymoon phase, is now faded away. Now you think to yourself, now this is the real deal. Now I made nikah with this person. Now I'm living with them. That's when you start to learn the person's habits, the person's traits, how they are, what ticks them off, you know, what irritates them, if I can say that. You know, because sometimes a person, you thinking, hey, you know what, in the beginning you were so nice, you were like this, you were like that. Then you have one small argument. They're like, I didn't know you were like this here. How can you do such a thing to me and this and that? So when you get when you're living with a person after 10 months, then they start having these quarrels. But when you have a quarrel like this here, right, it might be something trivial, something small. But you must understand that this type of quarrels is now, because you are living with the person, you are growing together, and you are understanding their traits. And inshallah, it doesn't mean that now you must throw in the towel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran, the surah Talaq, is something that is permissible, but it's also the most detested thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it halal, but it's the most detested thing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last resort, you know what? You can't do it anymore. You take advice from our elders. Our elders are still around. Take the advice, you know, you go to the ulama, tell him, listen, this is the story. This is what my husband or my wife is doing. I need some help. Now, I don't think that, you know what, in the first under a year, that something like this will happen, you know. But we make dua, it doesn't happen at all. We make dua that it doesn't happen at all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects all our marriages and those that are getting married. You can send your nikah notices that Maulana Zaid does on a Friday morning from 10 to 10:30, where you can read out your nikahs and make dua for you, inshallah. So like I was saying, how to fight with your spouse, and then somebody sends a message. Fights happens in marriages. It's normal. It's part of the deal. Like I just said, it's part of the deal. Marriage consists of two people, and as such, they will naturally differ and disagree on things from time to time. Because why? You all are two different people coming from two different backgrounds. You might have did something when you were growing up, and you're like, oh, you know what, this is how I know it to be. And the other person will say, no, but this is not how it's supposed to be. Then that's when the damal start. Then the great question is, how do we disagree? What should these arguments or fight look like? Should there be a free for all? No, man, you can't have free for all. Some people will take the wrong end of the stick when they say free for all. Then the other one is, are there some ground rules, guidelines for how to conduct yourselves, husband and wife, when they fight? I think personally, no, this doesn't have to do with Marcus or anything, but this is from my personal opinion. My personal opinion is that marriage counseling is very important. Before you get married, you should go to see a counselor, not because you got problems already, but in a way you can look at. And they'll explain to you that, you know what, listen, this is what is being needed of you to do. This is how you're going to handle it. They're not telling you to rule your life. They're not telling you how to live your life. Rather, they're telling you how to manage it. How you're going to go with the flow and how you're going to do it. And obviously, there are the Masnoon Duas that you read. رَبَّنَا حَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ عَيْنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا Surah 25 verse 74. And there are many, many, many du'as from the Noble Quran that one can read for a successful marriage. So inshallah, we're going to be waiting for our beloved Hazrat Maulana Zahid Khan, who will join us in a bit. But just wait now and see. I saw him coming in. You know, Maulana Zahid is troubling me now. He wants to move the car and everything. But unfortunately, we have to go for a break. But inshallah, let's see. Once I move the car for Maulana Zahid, and inshallah, then I'll come back and then we can continue. Then Maulana is going to come on air with us and we're going to discuss, inshallah.
Mm-hmm. آنکھیں بچھا پیروں تلے جن پر میرے آقا چلے,
آنکھیں بچھا پیروں تلے جن پر میرے آقا چلے, چل تو بھی ان راہوں پہ چل, چل تو بھی ان راہوں پہ چل, چل تو بھی ان راہوں پہ چل,
اپنی طرف تکتا نہیں تجھ سا کوئی یکتا نہیں, جھونکا کسی طوفان کا تجھ کو بجھا سکتا نہیں,
کر میں آتے ہوں.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. اوکے سو وی بیک ناؤ اینڈ مولانا مسٹ ٹیل می ان ایڈوانس نیکسٹ ٹائم,
just
you must have been advanced like Irwan. you might have met. We apologize for the break in transmission. Seems to be Mufti Saab has some guests, so Maulana Zaid had to attend to them, that's why there was a break in transmission. We do apologize for that there, but inshallah, like we were saying with regards to the marriage and that message that came in, they say some tips and pointers as what I've learned from my own marriage and the marriages I've seen around. So there's something called, they say, what is fighting dirty? So they say some people, when they get mad, they aren't able to control their anger or to contain their anger. You know, sometimes you get some people, it's a fact, you know. And I think one day we must get Maulana Salim Karim on air, and then Maulana can discuss this as well, that some people have this bipolar and the switches, you know, they call it a switch, where sometimes they just snap one small thing that they talk to you about, and then they their whole mood, their whole thing changes, right? So it says some people can't control their anger. They feel the anger building up inside and let it rage into a blazing inferno. That's like when you have also not only for anger, but also emotions as well. If you don't speak about your emotions or you don't speak to anybody, then you know the term they use, you keep bottling it up. You're going to bottle it up until you snap and you break out. And then, you know, that there's a term that I always see, don't bleed on a person who didn't hurt you. You're gonna hurt the person who's trying to be there to comfort you, to hear you out, to give you a hearing. And here you are taking off and hurting on this person when they are innocently trying to help you overcome whatever issue you have. And here you are hurting that person for no reason. That is not fair at all. Then they say, raging out of control in this state, they let loose, allowing themselves to say whatever comes to their angry mind. Then they just blurt out things and they be like, you know, all the colorful languages start coming out, which is wrong. You need to learn how to control yourself. And the perfect solution to control yourself is by making wudu, walking away. Don't entertain all these things, because once you feel that you're getting angry, just walk away. Let them talk, let them say what they want, but don't retaliate. Because it'd be like two people on fire, then how are you going to calm down? If one says A, the other one says Z, and they deliberately target what they know their spouse is sensitive about. Now, if your spouse tells you a secret, right now that you're married, and say, you know what, this is what I don't like, this what hurts me, you know, all those kind of things. And out of the anger, you'd be like, yeah, you're like this, yeah, this is why you like this, this is why you like that there. something which they confided in you, and now you're throwing it back at them. And they will devastate and wound their spouse. That's what I just said. And then they go for the jugular, not jugular, literally, like they don't go for your throat, but for something that is sensitive to you, which will obviously make you cry or make you upset. They use the term, you go straight for the jugular. Then they have no filter in that moment. They don't think, nothing processes through their mind. You know, they just talk anything, anyhow. And they just blurt out things. And then after that, then they realize, hey, you know what? What I said was wrong. I shouldn't have said what I said. Then you want to go and make up. You want to go and talk sweetly. Obviously, you can't work like that, because you tell a person something and then you expect your spouse to be happy. Then you expect your spouse to be happy and you expect them to talk to you nicely. Yeah, after a couple of days, maybe a week, but according in Islam, you can't go to bed. You must never go to bed angry, right? And you cannot go more than 3 days without speaking to a person. Then you must always work on that day. Then the next one is, they will literally say anything and everything they can think of in order to hurt the person and win the fight. But there's no winning in like this year. Even if you win like this year, you've lost, which is true. And this is called dirty fighting. Fighting dirty. You've lost the person's trust. You've lost the love of your spouse. You've damaged the relationship. You know, initially, when things like this happen, the person will say, no, shame. You know what? It's just newlyweds. We'll work on it. We'll work on it. Then the person will say, you know what? I did it once. I can do it again. Then they will think, the other person will think, no, it's a habit of his. When people see it, then to protect one's izzat and to protect the husband's izzat or the wife's izzat, they will say, no, shame. You know, he's like that. I can't do anything. You know, when I married him, you know, I found out that he was like this year, and then there's nothing I can do. Not nothing you can do. You can go and you can sort it out. Before it's too late, you can sort it out. Here's some tips that you can do or concentrate, or you should not do while you are fighting with your significant other half. The first one is no cursing, swearing, or cussing. We do not use foul language or filthy language, no matter how angry you feel. And like I said earlier, that you know what, when you are angry, when you are upset, don't just let loose and take out that veil and that filter and start using vulgar language and emotional abuse. And you know, that's when emotional abuse comes in. When a person living with the other person for 6 months to a year, 3 years, 4 years, then they'd be like, hey, you know what? I never signed up for this year. This person here is using such, and also the other term now that's very commonly used is a person is a narcissist. They got narcissistic traits and they want to gaslight. They want to play victim. All those things. Maulana, are you available, Maulana?
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. No more other guests coming, no more moving cars, nothing. You sure?
No new cars.
No moving cars, no other guests, everybody's gone.
Gee.
Alhamdulillah. Maulana, we were talking about, you know, in a marriage, right? I think, you know, Maulana, when you got married, you know, you had that honeymoon phase. You know, they call it a honeymoon phase, the first 6 or 10 months. Now I'm going to backtrack everything what I said. The first 6, 10 months, right? In a honeymoon phase, you're marrying a person, you don't know what they are. Obviously, you know what they look like, right? But you don't know the person's trait. Now, when you get married in a year, 2 years, then you'll be like, hey, I didn't sign up for this year because the person that I married wasn't that person in the 6 or 10 months that I initially knew him. Now, you know they say? Your true jat comes out. You don't say your true colors come out. Now they scratch their head, they're like, hey, this person was never like this year. Then they want to cry and then they want to say, hey, you know what? Why did I marry this man? But the thing is about marriage is that you'll need to learn, you must learn how to have sabr. Obviously, if the person is being abusive, which we condemn of the highest order, and we disagree that you cannot be abusive physically and emotionally. You know? But the Mulana, from an Islamic perspective, na, what advices or du'as? I know about the Surah Furqan, everyone knows Surah 25, verse 74. You know, for a good marriage, you look for a good spouse. But now, that's to look for a spouse. Now, when you are in that marriage itself, what du'a can, from an Islamic, okay, give Islamic advice, and from an Islamic perspective, what Mulana can give to our listeners as to how to have a blissful marriage?
Interesting topic, Haji Suleiman. And this can work both ways. Sometimes we do our homework properly, and we do the cross checks, this, that. You know, when people want to, interested in you, Brother Suleiman, then they'll phone the pious people around you, sing and asking, is this man a person who performs Salah? That's our first priority that we must see for in a spouse. And all of this here, and then other things, they'll phone those that are common between, and you know, they will give you the right reference and truthful. This is one occasion amongst a few others. There's exceptional cases in this year where you have to speak the truth. Haji Suleiman, imagine a person is on drugs and he is stealing stuff. Nowadays we know children who are on drugs and they steal. Can you even call that stealing? They steal the microwave of that very same home which they're staying in. And they go sell it just for a quick few rands to purchase their... They think for the moment. Now imagine you say, no, this person here is very pious and you know he's on a different level and this, or you say, or you just keep it just general. And now this the daughter goes into this marriage, whereas you gave the wrong reference or you lied in your reference. What happens then? This causes so much of other problems because you didn't speak the truth from the beginning. So this is an occasion where you're supposed to speak the truth and say everything the way it's supposed to be, so that you are going to save. It's just like a kidnapper. Similarly, those who are trying and attempting to kidnap our iman, you have to say that this person is going to harm your iman. So bringing all of this together, you did all your checks, everything came out positive, and now you're in this marriage. And now you are seeing different colors. It can happen. A person is dressed in the most pious clothing, and then afterwards it comes, turns out that the person is not the way he presents himself to the public. And this can be for two reasons. One reason is he lied in his when you met him, or the female interested met him, or vice versa. The person, the opposite side, lied, and just to get into that marriage. It's much like Haji Suleiman, you know, when you're going to, when people go for these proposals and that, why they go for, they want the best cars, the best, they'll even borrow someone's car to go there. And from there, now the girl, everyone's waiting at the window to see what car is coming in. And from there, we can move forward like this. So already we're giving the wrong image. So we should be straightforward. And even if you have money, don't put money as the prerequisite for moving forward. Truthfulness, sidq, is what we have to search for. So coming into the marriage now, this pious person is not as it was and as it... So we said to you, one is he lied, or the other is because of the circumstances that he's in. And this, you see, is when we're living as single people, single, what happens? We have freedom. Our parents are there. They are just for our benefit, basically. They are willing to purchase for us our needs, even going beyond that. So everything in your life is like on a platter for you. Now when you come into marriage, there's responsibilities, and you did your whole life, you were spoiled. Your parents didn't ask you to do a single thing for them. And now all of a sudden you are in this corner with so much of responsibilities, and your mood swings then starts to change. Women are not used to cooking, men are not used to going out and earn, yet you're supposed to be like this. So it all boils down to the school mentality where you have to finish school, then afterwards you have to get a degree, and then afterwards you have to get your honors, and then after. So when do we have that practical time to become men, and when do women become practical? So these are questions that we should be asking. So Islamically, the advice would be this here. Before you get married, you will have to undergo, you'll have to learn so many things. Haji Suleiman, I'm not sure if you've ever been for a, if you've got a gun license.
No, Maulana, I don't.
So, but you know the procedure to get it. It's such a, so many things you have to do just to get your license. First, you have to go for a course. Then they prep you up. You have to write an exam on what you learned and this and there's so many things. Just to press the trigger once, you have to go through so much. When we get married, we just go into it. We don't sit with an alim of haq or a person to say that, please break it down for me. Tell me what should I know? Tell me about talaq. We often say, leave talaq alone, because that's not something we want to get into. We shouldn't folk. Yes, that is not something you're supposed to press or use as a weapon. But what you should be doing is knowing when it is. If you say the statement, then talaq has occurred. This is all part of it. If you pull the trigger with a gun shooting a person innocently, or even a criminal, and he didn't have anything in his hands to attack you, then you will be held liable. Why did you pull the trigger to that person? And you'll say, but I didn't know. I didn't know doesn't count. It's the same with all of these issues. To gain that guidance. In Malaysia, when we used to speak to our colleagues, they used to tell us that, I don't know if that's still the law now, but before you get married, Haji Suleiman, you have to go for a course.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know how many weeks it goes over. But until you don't get that certificate, you can't get married.
This is in?
Malaysia.
Okay.
You couldn't get married till you have that certificate to say that you have, now you know that amount to get married. It's like Salah. A person cannot just be imam. He needs to know certain things before he's imam. Similarly, a person who's reading the salah behind, he needs to know certain things. So like this, we have to educate ourselves, understand, go sit with a pious person, and they will teach you things that you, they will teach you what you need to apply in your marriage, etc. So these are just a few of the words. I know we've gone beyond the time for recipes.
No, it's fine, Maulana, because I think it's prevalent and it's important that we discuss these things, because I think this is the topic that it's sort of shunned away, that people are scared. And, you know, we as Maghrib, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and we also have the Darul Iman, the voice of the voiceless. So in that way, Maulana, we can speak about this topic. We have the platform. And why don't we make the effort and show the people that, you know what, y'all are not alone when it comes to these types of issues.
Mm.
You know, because some people are afraid, because now they don't know who to talk to, who to turn to.
Mm. Exactly.
You know, they're living in environments, and they're living in marriages where they are stuck in and confined in these walls. But every time when they tell them, like, you know what, they approach them and say, you know what, this is what I'm going through. They say, you know what, have sabr.
Mm.
You know, because you don't want to break the marriage, but at the same time, you cannot be living in a marriage where you are not happy and the other party is not happy as well.
Gee. And this is common that there's two people living under one house, but months have passed, they're not speaking to each other. You ask them, but why is this the case? So they say, no, we're just doing it for the children. You cannot have this mentality because automatically you are enemies with one another and you are saying for the benefit of the children. So can that ever work? Can that ever? It's like putting a Palestinian and you're putting an Israeli in one home. And you're saying, we are just going to be at peace. When that Palestinian knows very well that you killed his father, you did this, you did that. It's not going to work. So the way to do it is you have to now find solutions. What is the way forward? And as we all know, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't push you, challenge you to that point where you can't manage or you can't handle it. It's we that have chosen this lifestyle, which we have now, imagine, after so many years, we've come to realize that this life of theirs, the Western culture, it's not applicable. If you look at it in every, if you look at the schools, if you look at the mentality, the way it's going, the direction, it's not practical. When you look at Anbiya alayhi salam, you're seeing how active they were with their hands. You saw the women folk of those days. And how they would then, everyone is focused on their responsibilities. That is why for me, and I think many others would also agree, perhaps those who are truthful, and we've seen what's happening in the world, that for our minds to come right, we have to close down, shut down these global churches, which are called schools. And we are going there, we are becoming corrupted and corrupted. We see the signs, 100% pass rate. You ask the question, what's 100% pass rate? What's the pass rate? It's 30%. So you don't need brains to pass school. So the reality is, when it comes to our dini knowledge, then we see that we are just basics. We don't even know the proper basics. And avenues like zakat, avenues like people say, it's been years now. They just used to estimate one amount and pay it as zakat. And now they are struggling because that is what Allah Azza wa Jal tells you. That when it comes to interest, Allah reduces. When it comes to zakat or when it comes to sadaqat, Allah Azza wa Jal increases it for you. This goes against the logic. That is iman, alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb, to bring iman in the unseen. So having said this, I'd like inshallah, our ulama haq to have more, to have sort of a platform or something. We don't say you must follow in the Western culture and have all of these different programs like how they have it, where they have it at a hotel and only the elite are invited and it's some sort of convention. No, how do we connect to those who don't have money? Because that's what's happening. They are losing, then the children, their lives are affected. So we need to revisit our own iman, see where we're sitting at and how we can better ourselves continuously. Just to draw a conclusion here, and that is never lose hope. Never lose hope as a spouse that things cannot get better. It can get better. But we have to make that change. And another thing that comes to mind is we, the new generation, we just think if this thing doesn't work, this friend is not doing it for me, we'll get another friend. This girl is not working for me, we'll get another girlfriend. That's not when you get married in Islam, before marriage, after marriage, all this zina you have to stay away from. And then when you get married, you can't have this approach to say that, okay, if you don't listen to me, then I'm going to give you talaq, or the woman, the mother goes to her father's place, and then they take refuge there, and then nothing gets resolved. We have to see how can I better myself, and you better yourself. And that can only be done when we are seeking, what rights does my wife have over me? What rights does she have over me? Okay, I'm corrupted to this extent now. But let me see how I can improve myself. And reformation is not an overnight thing. It takes months and years. And I was speaking about Hazrat Mulana Masihullah rahmatullahi alayhi yesterday. I was telling my family that imagine you can reach that level where he's first. So this letter, we have it here somewhere. And Hazrat Mulana Musila Rahmatullah Alayhi Sheikh is Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Tanwi Rahimullah. And he says, and he confides, this is why you have a Sheikh, and this is important. And he says that I have this problem, I get angry, I get irritated when this one is not doing his responsibility, this one, and what can I do? So Mulana Ashraf Ali Tanwi is Hakimul Ummah. He gives him the prescription. Eventually, Hazrat Mulana Musila Rahmatullah Alayhi writes back and says, you know that I've reached this level. Not, he doesn't say I reached this level, and they were free from all of this pride, and well, they worked towards it. He said that now, even if a wasp or something has to come to me, or I don't have, like how you say in English, he can't kill a fly. He's so soft, he can't kill a fly. So this, he's worked on it so much that the wasp comes, Mulana Musila Rahmatullah Alayhi says, I can't kill it. So what's the way forward now? Because that wasp can harm me. So Mulana Ashraf Ali Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi then says, if that is the case, then tell, inform someone else to do it on your behalf. Today we just take the electrocuted, we're killing our the flies, but we don't consider how much of harm we're causing to that fly. Now this was something, go see the fatwa of Mufti Mahmud Gangohi Rahimullah, and what fatwa he gave with regards to electrocuting flies even. They had so much of love for animals, imagine that for their spouse. So yes, we are filled with sin, but we give you these examples, not to say that we are pure, that we have it in our lives, but to give us courage to say that one day, that's my role model. One day I'm going to reach there. Now when you have role models of these people who are sleeping around and all of that, how do you expect to get to that point when they are not even? And we leave you with the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba yawm al-qiyamah. A person will be with whom he loves on the day of Qiyamah. So you love your Liverpool players, you're going to be with them. You love the awliyaullah, then you will be with them. And the awliyaullah, when you see outwardly, you'll think sickness, that, the other. But inwardly, they have that peace. That is when I wanted to become alim. Suleiman, you know Mulana Shakir Sirat. So Mulana Shakir Sirat is my mother's cousin. So
you were talking about one hammer fly. Mulana Shakir is the epitome of a person won't hurt a fly. Mulana Shakir is so, wallahi, I've never seen a more quieter person, quiet, soft-spoken alim than Mulana Shakir.
Gee.
So, no, I mean, like, in our age gap, obviously, if you go out and if you see other alims, older generation, the more our akabirin, the older akabirin, the elders, you know, the elders, then obviously with age, they've become more quiet, more humble. But I mean, in our age category.
Yes.
You know? Mulana Shakir is the one person I've seen that is like very soft-spoken. I've never seen him get angry.
Gee. So that, now when I was going to, I still was making mashwara, must I become alim or not. So my mother said, let's go. You must speak to Mulana Shakir. And then he took me, but my mind was already focused on Darul Zakaria for many reasons. And I shared with the listeners other times the sunnah, that sitting on the floor, that peace, that contentment. Then when we went to Mulana Shakir Sahib, I told him this, you gave me this advice. He said, you sure I said that? I said, gee, 100% you said this. Yeah, I remember it. He asked me, why do you interested to know why I want to become, or why I want to at least venture into this. So I said, when I see you people, I see exactly that what you were mentioning. You're like totally at peace. You know, conditions are not even in your favor sometimes, but you're just in peace. So I'm amazed at this. I said, look, if you see my career, in terms of employment, I can reach a certain level and monies, that's what you're going to get. That's about it. But we speak of quality of life, I see it in you people. So he said, you think it's, he looked at me and he said, you actually think it's like that? So I said, yes, I see it in you people. So of course, and that's exactly what I'm saying to you, is that we have to go into it. We have to put it into practice. Mulana Musiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi brought it into practice and he made that change. And then, so it can be a lifelong, but if it's a lifelong venture and it's going to get me my Jannah, then sabr also is not just when you meet up in an accident. Sabr is at that time you're angry and you just throw water or you do something. We're still trying to work on that basics. Imagine. And these people had mastered these qualities. Allah grant us tawfiq. Make dua for me. Make dua for all of us. That we get all these good, beautiful qualities. And that is what makes you a complete human being. That is why Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, rahimullah, he said, what's the purpose of this khanka? He never said to make you a buzruk. He said the purpose of this khanka is to make people human beings again. To make people human beings again. That is why when one person asked his father, what should I become? What should I study? What's most beneficial? The father said, become a human being. Which occupation? Become a human being. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us, you want to become a complete human being, make it your objective that from today, I'm going to do what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me. You can't be saying that I'm a female, and I want to carry on like a male going out. Just now we were listening and they were having a discussion about all this discrimination in the workplace over the females and how much they extra have to come home and see to the children, plus do this, plus do that. So we say Islam is so easy. Islam told you don't go out of the home, finish. Attend to your responsibilities. Men, you attend to yours. You are getting lazy there in the house, making the woman work to earn. You have to go and do that. Wa akhiru da'wana anil alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Say jazakallah khairan to Mawlana. You know, I think you covered up. We'll make you maaf. You know, for the earlier part of the show, you know, you're supposed to be here from 20 past 12, but we'll make you maaf. Inshallah, I see you covered up for the time that we lost, alhamdulillah.
Are you giving me off tomorrow?
Tomorrow is what, Wednesday? Why?
You said I did extra.
No. The extra was for the beginning of the show.
Okay, no. I was just joking.
No, but we say jazakallah khairan to Mawlana Zaid for giving those pearls of wisdom. And I think, Mawlana, you've got to show also pearls of wisdom, no?
No, exclusive pearl.
Exclusive
of detailing pearl. The stanzas. It's
of the Qasira Burda. Turratul
Farda. It's of Qasira Burda. Mufti Ridhaullah Ksab's kitab. So we just explain a few of the stanzas.
That is where we come to the end of our show. We say jazakallah khairan to Mawlana Zaid for your time. May Allah Ta'ala grant you everything of the best. Fi dini wa dunya wal akhirah.
Ameen.
Ameen, ameen. And jazakallah khairan. And make me maaf. Inshallah, there wasn't any recipe segment. But I feel that, you know what, this was a prevalent topic to speak about. And it's something that needs to be spoken about. From the team of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the team of Midday Show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isub, from Monday to Thursday between 12 and 1 p.m. Bi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.